Welcome to another episode of It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. I'm your host, and with me today, fresh from his honeymoon.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, Mr. Dominic, look at that, the wedding ring there.
Look at that ring. They say it looks like a snake, but it won't bite.
Looking good. So how does it feel to be married?
It's good. It's good. You know, it was like I asked her, you know, wouldn't mind marrying me much, you know, and she said yes, and it was fun. It was a fun time.
Have you left any hair in the sink or anything like that?
Not yet, because, you know, obviously I left my hair in some sink years ago. But
fair.
It was funny. My uncle at my wedding came up to me because he's a big Rocky fan, too. And after the ceremony, he's like, you want to invest in condominiums? And I was like, tell you the truth, I never use them.
There you go. Did you see your uncle said that?
Yeah, it's my uncle. He's a big Rocky fan and Stallone fan. So.
That's awesome.
He had it queued up, you know.
He had it ready to go. I finally get to use it with somebody who gets it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I'll often say, like, you know, why do you work here? And I'll say, because I can't sing or dance, you know. And people are like, okay, that's a stupid answer. Right.
Yeah, nobody gets it.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, well, this is not a Rocky podcast, but it's a Sly, you know, it's Sly-centric. It stars our man, Sly. Mm-hmm. So I also want to say regarding our premiere episode last episode was John Rambo episode one, doing very well, by the way. The numbers are showing that people want to hear,
they want to know more about this movie.
Yeah, let me just
think, it was all that trivia you dropped the last episode. You would drop it. Well,
here's the thing, they wouldn't know the trivia existed without listening, right?
Like, exactly.
So the numbers are rotten unless people are telling their friends, hey guys, mm-hmm. you got to check out the premiere episode, because Ryan
dropping some bombs in there.
Well, speaking of which, we do have a little bit of trivia today. We're gonna do a trivia game.
Awesome.
Okay,
The audience can play at home, so we can all keep score, and the audience will play at home. So today's going to be a little bit top heavy at the beginning before we get to some of the film. We're going to play some Rambo trivia, but before we get to that trivia, as you are aware, Dom, and we talked, of course, before we started recording, the reality show The Family Stallone has premiered on Paramount Plus.
Right.
At least in my neck of the woods, the first two episodes have dropped. They did the first two. Yeah,
I got to double check with mine.
I'm in Canada, and because even with IMDb, it only showed one episode, so whatever. I watched the first two with the wife, and she's not a Stallone fan in the sense she'll watch Rocky. She just watched the Rocky films once. She's sort of seen the Rambo films when I showed my kids, and but she knows, of course, my love affair with Sly films and the podcast for 6 years. And so I just turned it on with her, said, hey, watch this with me. She's quite enjoyed it. So as somebody who's not a Stallone buff, she's enjoyed the show. Now, I've been getting scuttlebutt on the socials, a lot of men who refuse to watch Sly. I'm telling you, guys are missing out. It's a fun show.
Is it? What is it about, like a half hour an episode?
Yeah, 25 minutes, 23 minutes. Very quick. Very quick, actually. When the second episode ended, it showed like coming up next week. And we're like, what, already? I was engaged.
Can I ask, is Frank Stallone in any capacity?
Frank, he's like, not only is Frank Stallone in it, he's got a big highlight in episode two.
Okay, I'm excited. If you ever want to veer off and do a Frank Stallone podcast, let me know.
No, that won't happen. Which reminds me, talk to me after this episode. I do want to run something by you.
Okay.
I meant to do it before we started recording. Okay. So it's fascinating. Now, like any reality show, of course, it's contrived in the sense – there's a scene where Sly talks to his oldest daughter at the gun range. So, of course, would they have naturally gone to the gun range to have a conversation they had on the show? Unlikely.
Of course.
That's what every reality show is, from Survivor. Right. Mm-hmm. You put real people in situations they might not find themselves in, but then real behaviors come from that situation.
Exactly.
Once you kind of get past that, like, sure, whatever, they're at the gun range. But it's kind of funny. You get to see Sly shoot a gun, and he does a bad job. It's kind of funny. Like, the gun master was correcting Sly on how to shoot the gun.
Correcting Rambo himself.
Well, that's just it. And Sly has said, I don't shoot as much as I used to. I'm enjoying it. Whether it's fake, real, it doesn't matter. It's entertainment. Right. Mm-hmm. And you get to see some of the dynamics of the daughters with the dad and Jennifer. And Jennifer's a stunner. I mean, I always knew that, but seeing her on screen, this is the most I've seen her talk, walk, move.
Do they act at all, his daughters? I think one of his daughters popped up in Tulsa King, actually.
That's right, oldest one. I forget their names already. I know it's Sophia, Sistine, and Scarlett. Mm-hmm. I think that's the order. I think Sophia's the oldest, Sistine, and then Scarlett. All extremely attractive young ladies, but they seem very well adjusted. Normal as normal can be. I saw one of the comments, oh, it's just like Kardashians. Well, they're not the Kardashians.
Right, there's right, no exactly.
Tapes on these girls. There's no...
Right.
You know, they happen to be Hollywood children. And is that their fault that their dad is rich and famous?
And I could understand him doing it as far as like getting them more popularity, getting them some more fame. Sure. You know, maybe this will lead to something else for them. That's why he did it, probably.
Sure, and there's no shame in that. So say parents that are in the professional lawyers. Oh, son or daughter, you want to be a lawyer? Right. You know, we know something.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's the field we know. Uh-huh. In fact, my son is in the Navy, like me. Same job that I
do. Okay, yeah, exactly.
You know, but unlike us, you know, we'll never be rich. But but that's the point. You kind of breed what you know. You talk about what you know.
Right. Okay. You give them those paths. You know.
Right. It's actually a fun show.
Okay.
Sit back, relax. You get to see Sly in a different light. It will be interesting because I think there was filming during their separation. I'm not sure how they're going to get to that.
Right.
I don't know if that ties into the season or maybe it's the season finale, you know, marriage on the rocks, but we already know it's resolved.
Right.
They definitely love each other. I think if I was to gather why they got separated, I think Sly truly is head over heels. They even mentioned that in the show that Sly is head over heels for Jennifer. It's probably Sly's fault.
Hmm.
Meaning whatever that reason was. It was private. I don't think it was ever released.
Right.
Jennifer seems like a real... she seems like a real sweetheart. And I have a friend, well, an online social friend who works with Sly, has worked with Sly. I won't say their name, but somebody I've interviewed and somebody I talk to a lot. He told me that Jennifer is the real deal. She is a sweetheart of a person. Okay. So people are going to watch these reality shows and they go, it's all fake. And I love how it's fake because somebody's in a good light or it's fake because... It's just them.
Exactly.
Jennifer seems like a real sweetheart. So I don't want to talk about it too much. I know people are like, well, why did I? But if you watch Sly and you wouldn't mind just seeing a different side of Sly.
Side, it's actually, right? Yeah.
It's fun. It's harmless. One little thing that was revealed too, they talk about how they don't get together very often. The daughters don't hang out with Frank very much. And I found that very surprising. That's actually brought up in the show.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Strange. So it is strange. It's almost worth talking about almost each episode. It gives you a little bit of nuggets in their life that I didn't know about. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is a week's episode on the Family Stallone update. If you listen to my Rocky podcast as well, I'll talk more about that with Katie because she says she's going to watch it too. So she'll have stuff to say as well. So take a listen to that episode. Next, we have a couple of comments from our... If you listen to our show via Spotify and or Anchor, you can leave comments on the show.
Oh, awesome.
What do you call it? Nice little
I didn't even know that feature existed. That's pretty cool.
So this came from CEO Junior75. He said, great episode as always. So that was nice. That's all we ask for. You know, just rate, subscribe, like us. This came from Pat W. He said, I loved it. I've enjoyed this entire podcast from the very first episode. Keep up the great work.
Awesome.
That was from Pat. Well, we will. We'll definitely keep it up. Hopefully Dom's addition isn't ruining the show. I apologize. I also want to apologize for last week's episode. I used the wrong mic. I didn't know it. So I need you, Dom. I'm counting on you. If I sound... Okay. So you hear how I sound right now?
It's right.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Well, if you go back and listen to the first episode, it was the camera mic. Like it was the webcam mic.
Oh, it wasn't... So you were plugged in, but it wasn't kind
of... Yeah, it wasn't my Yeti mic right here in front of me. So anyways, not your fault, but I kind of blame you.
Bring it on.
Because I can't... No. If you think, he doesn't sound the way he usually sounds, just let me know. But anyways, I want to apologize to the listeners, and hopefully they come back for the next episode. Because like I said, we got the most downloads in a while was that
awesome
John Rambo episode one beat the previous finale of season three. So it's
nice.
It's interesting. Yeah. I found it surprising actually, because if you're listening to this episode, go back and listen to season three, Rambo three. Our coverage of Rambo three is maybe even better than the film itself. Let's be honest. So I think that's worth noting. Okay. Let's now play a little bit of Rambo trivia. And people at home, you can join along here. Here we go. This is called the Rambo Nightmare Quiz.
Why is it called the Nightmare Quiz?
We'll read the rules to the people at home. There are 15 questions. You have 5 seconds to answer. The quiz starts easy and gets harder. Okay. Round one. Rambo First Blood 1982. Difficulty is hope.
What does that mean? Exactly.
I'm not sure. What is the level of difficulty in Hope, Washington?
And you said this was pulled off a DVD? Or
I don't know where this came. I found it on YouTube, but I think whoever ripped it from their DVD extras, I think.
Oh, okay.
Some steel box or something.
Right. Something.
Check out our YouTube if you haven't already. It's a Long Road, the Rambo Series podcast on YouTube. You get to see our faces and you get to see...
The bald heads.
Well, yeah, just one bald head.
Just one bald head.
Oh, you see how the match lights? You see how the match lights in 5 seconds? Look at that. See it burning on the top?
I feel the pressure.
I'm watching the match. I'm too. Okay.
I'm starting to sweat.
Okay. Well, we're going to pause it because we have to read it for the audience. So, what is Ramble's call sign? Here's your options. Okay. You ready? Raven, Jackdaw, Magpie, and Rook. I know the answer to this.
I think I'm going to go with Magpie, but I'm not 100%.
Doesn't Troutman in First Blood say, Raven, this is cover leader. Come in.
You
Raven.
Know what? Now that you're saying it, it's ringing a bell. Okay, I was wrong, Magpie.
So you said Magpie? What is wrong with you,
Magpie? I don't know. I'm going to beat the shit out of myself.
Yeah. Can you please do that?
I thought it was my favorite kind of pie.
It's Magpie. You don't like the pie, right?
Cover leader calling.
Oh, they show you the scene after.
Oh, they show the clip. Great. Yeah.
So the gunshots you hear, folks, is the answers are on dog tags and somebody's shooting the wrong answers.
Great animation.
So, yeah.
Raven,
who the hell are you?
Sam Troutman.
So we did know this, that Kirk Douglas was originally cast as Colonel Troutman, but he quit the film at the last minute after a creative disagreement. You remember hearing about that?
Creative disagreement was. I wonder what that was.
I know what it was.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, he wanted to be Rambo.
Don't say that. Is that true? Don't say that.
But yes, it's something to that effect. He wanted to be Rambo.
He showed up on set after being cast as Troutman and demanded to be Rambo.
I think Sly talks about it somewhere. Mm-hmm. He was being ridiculous about the script today. He was changing everything in the script. Oh, that's what it was. It wasn't that he wanted to be Rambo, necessarily Rambo the character, but he was changing the script so much that his character Troutman became the Rambo.
Oh, like overshadowed.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
I'm the star of the show. I get it. He, at the time, would have been, you know, Sly at the time, but same age, right? You know, very much a silver screen star at the time, right?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Colonel Samuel Troutman.
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Your boy?
I recruited him.
So Douglas's replacement, of course, is who we're hearing speaking, Richard Crenna, and he only accepted the role the week before filming was due to begin. And at the time, he was doing a play. I think I mentioned this as well in the first season of this podcast. But he was doing a play where he was playing a gay character.
Oh, wow.
In the play. So when he came on the set to be Troutman, he still kind of had the, I don't know how to say it, but he had the character. the character that he was playing was
okay. The
flamboyant type of.
Oh. You
know, that was the voice that Troutman or Richard Crenna was using.
So he didn't shake it at that point. He was still locked into that role.
A little bit.
I want to see that version of Rambo when Troutman shows up like that.
What the hell happened to you? Colonel Troutman, I don't understand. Why are you talking like this?
I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine.
God.
Okay, so what's the name of the friend that Rambo was visiting? Remember the beginning of the film? He's like,
yes.
The options are, folks at home, Ortega, Delmar, Danforth, and Jorgensen.
I think it was Danforth.
That's my guess, too. Delmar sounds familiar, doesn't it, though?
Yeah.
I know. So now you're making me doubt myself. I know it starts with a D.
Sylvester Stallone's going to come in and kick us in the face if we're wrong.
So I'm going to go with Danforth as well. Let's see. Oh, it's Delmar.
Oh.
You tell me that.
We're both idiots. People at home are screaming at us. Look, it's so easy to play at home, folks. It's like when I watch Jeopardy at home, you know. You watch
and the
Jeopardy
pressure's on. The pressure's on. When you see that match burning, that's it.
You can easily just edit this, go back. Yeah, it's Delmar.
Yeah, he should. Oh, they got him all right.
Danforth was one of the crew, though. He's definitely one of the people from the crew.
I heard Danforth in that movie. I mean, maybe that's what it is.
Where Delmar Barry lives?
Nah, Delmar Barry.
So clear now.
You can see that's Delmar's writing.
You see this, Delmar's, his voice is so clear. So he's talking, of course, to Delmar's. We never really know if it's his mother or if it's his widow.
Widow, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it says here, it's never made clear if the person Rambo speaks to is Delmar's. Oh, I just said that. I even said that before the fact came up.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at that. Even
he got the dialogue before it even came out. Look at that.
So according to this trivia, so it's never made clear if the person Rambo speaks to is Delmar's, Barry's widow or mother. And it's hard to tell because she's at such an age where she could easily be...
Right,
she could be 40 or 60. It's
right, exactly.
To her credit, you can't tell the age of this actress. You know what else is crazy, Dom? This actress is not credited in the film. You cannot find who she is. It's insane. Nothing.
Where? How'd that happen?
That's why they can't say it's Dalmar's widow or mother. Because, you know, there's kids running around.
Right, it would say.
That's what's confusing is the kids are young. So if it's Dalmore's mother, well, whose kids are those? Because he'd be 30-something like Sly's age. Mm. Say about the same age. They served a nom together 10 years previous. So he'd be at least 28.
Right.
30.
Yeah, I'm going to go with mother.
You're going to go with mother, so those are his youngest siblings. So maybe she had a second marriage?
Maybe, yeah. Possible. Okay.
But the actress here is not credited in the film.
She got gypped.
Yeah. Probably
pissed about that.
Sure.
You know what's funny? It's probably just some civilian really hanging up clothes in the area.
They were like, Sly, just go talk to her.
It's a hard time finding this place.
Yeah, that's his writing.
Well, like I said, he's a friend.
Look. Is John. Look, they took my trivia. Wow.
Did you write this?
To the audience at home, I have not read this. I swear to you.
You said before we started, you're going into this blind.
I'm going into this blind.
I can vouch.
Thank you. So the next fact that came up was the actor was never credited for her role, small but vital role, nor has she ever been identified since. How is that possible? No, seriously, how is that possible?
Mysteries episode.
It really is one of the craziest things I've ever. How is it possible to be in a film?
Yeah, how did you find this lady? It's not even like she's a background actor. She has dialogue. So
she has more dialogue than Rambo does.
There's got to be records of her getting paid, unless they just handed her cash on the set. I don't know. I don't know what they did back then.
It's insane. And there was kids gathered. So those were somebody's kids. So who's
the whole family just vanished after this?
There's got to be a way to find out who she is. There's got to be a way. Anyways,
we served on the same team together in NAM. I don't know if you ever talked about me.
Died last summer.
Oh, boy.
What was the name of Rambo's unit? I know this one. I got to know this one. So you got the options are Delta Team, Cobra Team. Come on.
Can't be Cobra Team.
Baker.
You're the disease and I'm the cure.
Which one do you think it is? But I got to know this one. So I'll let you go first.
I'm going to go with Baker Team.
I'm going with Baker Team as well. Thunder Team sounds like Thunder Lips Team.
Right.
Cobra Team.
Thunder Lips and the Flesh Baby.
And then you got Delta Team, and Delta is, you know, of course, come on, Delta Force, Chuck Norris. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Covey leader, to identify Baker Team.
Wrong. I went to get a couple of beers, and the box is wired, and I open up the box.
So at the end of the film, Rambo tells Troutman about the death of his friend and fellow Baker Team comrade Danforth. So
Danforth,
Danforth, I can't find a leg.
So that's where the Danforth came from. Okay.
He blew his body all over the place. He's laying there and he's fucking screaming. There's pieces of him all over me. Just like and I'm trying to pull him off, you know.
Another fact here, the story about an explosive shoebox was actually a true story told by Stallone. By a Vietnam War veteran. Of course, Sly got told that story.
Oh, man. I wonder if he told it that way.
Can you imagine?
It's such a good performance, but I'm just like, I've made fun of this scene so many times that I just can't help but laugh when I see it.
But we love this performance. Like, no one's laughing the first time, but I just love this performance.
Oh, he's great. He's great in this.
It's my friend. It's all over me. It's got blood and everything. And I'm trying to hold it together.
All right. What should you never do to John Rambo? Oh, come on. This one's too easy. So here's your options. Shove him, poke him, pull him, or push him.
I think we're going to go push him on this one.
Why are you poking me?
Are you poking with me like a Pokemon or something? Don't poke me.
So how many have we got right? This is our fourth question.
I got one right. I think you got two right.
Two out of three? Okay, so we're about to get two out of three. I'm keeping score here. All right.
I think you're winning.
Well, it's not about winning. It's just about...
Why are you pushing me?
Don't push it.
Yeah, we didn't know this. So they were showing the sequence of him breaking out of jail. Stallone accidentally broke the nose of actor Adam Humphries, who plays Lester during the jail escape scene. So that dude broke his nose for real.
Guy was probably like, fuck, man. why did he decide to come in this movie?
That's why he wore that bandage. He had a real broken nose.
Crazy.
The guy's really writhing.
That's a real reaction? Yeah. That's got to be a real reaction, right? They just kept rolling.
Keep rolling. Kept,
like, helping him.
You could argue that he thought he was acting like his face was broken.
Damn good actor.
So I said, oh, that's really good acting.
That's really good. Why do I have so much blood on me?
Oh, well, I was just talking to Mitch.
There you go. That's the dude there. So this is why Lester is seen wearing a Band-Aid over his nose throughout the rest of the film.
Probably not even that much makeup on his eyes. It's probably real.
It might be real.
Do I look like a raccoon? Like Rocky Raccoon?
Rocky Raccoon. French teacher. I know you get it. I can slip in those little. I know you get it. Somebody gets it. It's you.
We got like two listeners like, yeah, I think I get that joke.
And he was saying that Galt and a couple of deputies were a little hard on the guy. Assholes.
All right, so who doggedly pursues Rambo in First
Strange
Blood?
Strange choice of words.
Yeah. Is it Bill Taunton, Phil Sledger? I want to see that film. Gil Joshi or Will Teasel? Come on, guys. Come on. I'm not even going to dignify this.
Teasel. Good old Brian Dennehy.
Yeah, I said this in our episode as well. So, the material that Rambo cuts into a makeshift coat wasn't a prop, but a real piece of rotten canvas found by the crew.
And then you said it sold, right? For like some crazy amount of money too, right?
That's right. I had a guest on one of my Ramble 3 episodes. Again, if you guys haven't listened to the Ramble 3 season, you need to go back and listen to Ramble 3. I had a guest on who talked about how this stuff was sold at a real auction and for tens of thousands of dollars, this piece of canvas. This
crazy
canvas found by the crew was sold for $15,000. Is that insane?
Nuts.
So he does the one cut there, but then it was given over to the costume department. They made the makeshift coat.
Oh, okay.
It's like I run a Rambo podcast. Again, the fact brought up here, there was only one piece, so it became a treasured prop, which Stallone allegedly still has in his possession. Not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah.
Not anymore. Somebody has to update this trivia.
I like the way he had everything. Stallone kept that. Just walking around his house with it on.
So there you go. That was round one. Oh, boy. So will
you get to win this time?
Round two. First Blood Part 2.
First Blood
Difficulty Part is, two. I see you're no stranger to pain. Okay. That's interesting.
We get to win this time?
Oh, I know. So the question is, what is Rambo's ethnic descent according to Murdoch?
Oh, gosh.
Is it Italian, German, Irish, Italian, Native American, or Indian German? They shouldn't use the word Indian because I think they're meaning Native American German. I don't think they could have fit all the words onto the dog tag. I think that's why they had to shorten it. Look at that. See how it's all the same?
Uh-huh. Feel like it was Indian German, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with as well. Mm-hmm. The character Rambo, he likes to insinuate a little bit. He has a bit of that Native American blood in him, a little bit.
Right.
You know, with the bandana and the...
Uh-huh. Oh, this one's got guns.
Native American
German. John Jay, born 7-6-47, Bowie, Arizona, of Indian-German descent. That's a hell of a combination.
It's a hell of a combination. That's
I'm going to forget this conversation ever took place.
So we got someone in our chat. Alistair. Hey, Alistair, how's it going?
What's up?
He's from Britain. He quoted the next line. Hell of a combination. Yeah, good job. So Dirty Dozen star Lee Marvin was originally going to play Marshall Murdoch, but changed his mind. I forget the guy's name here that plays Murdoch. He does a great job in this.
Yes, I forgot. I think it's like, damn it. Just, I feel like it's Charles something. Charles something.
Yeah, Charles Napier.
Napier, there we go.
Yeah.
You bastard.
You bastard.
And if I were you, I'd never make the mistake of bringing this up.
There we go, Charles Napier.
Yeah, Charles Napier, who took the part, recalled that people would often tell him how much they hated the character. Well, yeah, you have to.
Hate him. It's good acting there.
Good acting. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Up again. You're the one who's making the mistake. Yeah, what mistake? Rambo.
Oh, I love this guy. Some of these I know without even knowing the choices, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. So who co-wrote the screenplay with Sly? Well, you got Oliver Stone, Sidney Lumet, or Lumet, and then Ridley Scott and James Cameron.
James Cameron.
That's right. Now, James Cameron, what his script was, so it wasn't that they co-wrote it together. Cameron had a script first.
Okay.
And then Sly, he came and slidified it. What they James Cameron, his big thing was the technology part of things,
right?
So the, everything that you see about the computers and technology and all that stuff, that was Cameron. He also had a sidekick written into the film, and it was going to be John Travolta.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Can you imagine?
It's a missed opportunity.
Would you rather have Co or John Travolta?
I don't know. I want that movie now, though. I want the movie with John Travolta and his prime running around like, hey, we got to do this, you know? Hey, don't touch my hair. Who's got better hair in this movie?
Who's got better hair, Rambo? Me or yo, hey. Hey, look, we're staying alive out here, Rambo. You know what I'm saying? Yo, Rambo, you're not expendable.
Hey, man, don't let anybody tell you that you're expendable, you know?
Oh, man. Probably like gun shooting, man.
Yeah.
So here we go. James Cameron's original screenplay began with Colonel Troutman finding Rambo in a psychiatric hospital instead of a labor camp. Oh, I should have said that. I did know that. And I was almost going to say it, but okay. That part stayed in the novelization written by David Morrell.
Okay. Yeah. Similar to how like Sarah Connor is in like Terminator 2.
That's right.
She's in the psychiatric hospital.
Imagine if Sly was the Terminator.
Come with me for what to live. Go live. Go with me. Come on. Come on. Let's go.
Let's go.
So the setting changed when Stallone rewrote the script, but Cameron resurfaced the psychiatric hospital concept for Terminator 2.
We're making this up as we go along. We're I know. Giving them the words.
These fact finders are finding our stuff before it comes up. Believe us, folks, we know what we're talking about over here. We're the number one Rambo podcast out there.
Exactly.
John, I'm sorry they sent you to such a hellhole.
I've seen worse.
Yeah, you have, haven't you?
Oh, wow. The question is, how many people does Rambo kill in First Blood Part 2? I don't think it's 100 plus.
I don't think it is either. I'm going to go with 66 to 75.
That was my pick too, honestly. I'm going to go with you, brother. We're going to go down together. So the choices for people at home, if you want to play along, 56 to 65, 66 to 75, and 76 to 99, then 100 plus. It's not 100 plus.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right. So, according to Murdoch's report at the start of the film, Rambo has 59 confirmed kills from the Vietnam War. That seems like a lot to me.
So that's definitely a lot, 59.
But,
yeah.
But then I love how the events of Rambo Part 2 doubles that.
You know, you need a good supply of body bags, and that's right. That's based on fact.
You want to count the guy that fell out of the helicopter in the first movie?
Oh, we just said that. Oh my gosh, this is kind of funny. All right, so the next part that came up, folks, we're not making this up. You can watch this live on YouTube if you don't believe us. So the next fact that came up was, however, Rambo's kill count in First Blood Part 2 means he kills more people in 2 days than he did during the entire Vietnam War. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Hey, Louise, enter the chat. How's it going, brother?
Hey, hey.
I love that. All right, the question is, how long had Rambo spent in prison at the start of the movie? Wasn't it 2 years?
I feel like it's 2 years, too. That's what jumped out at me.
Because I think they try to keep it about the same timeline between First Blood and the release of Rambo. Life,
right, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go 2 years.
2 years, I agree. Three years. All right.
Real good.
Oh, man, we suck. Okay, no points there. Maybe we're not the best Rambo podcast.
Maybe this proves it once and for all.
Another fun fact here in First Blood, Colonel Troutman's Green Beret Flash is that of the Army's 5th Special Forces Group. I think the Flash is the that badge on his beret there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm in the military, so when you get what we call patches or whatever, but they indicate the unit you belong to. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Winner of the Congressional Medal of Honor. Survivor of countless incursions behind enemy lines.
So what his committee needs is conclusive proof.
Part two, he's shown wearing the Flash of the 1st Special Ops Command, suggesting he was reassigned after the events of First Blood. Yeah, and that's normal. You get different, we call them postings or assignments. Yeah, so you go to a different unit. And then when you're at that unit, you wear their shield or their patch or whatever.
That Americans are being held.
like that they did that little detail, though.
Yeah, I never caught that, though. Question number 10 is, in which category was First Blood Part 2 nominated for an Oscar?
Wow. Could not have been Best Picture. Best Picture. It could not have been. I could eliminate that. I could eliminate cinematography. I'll say sound editing.
It's got to be sound.
It can't. Yeah, it can't, I don't think it could be anything else.
Film editing, close second. No way. Maybe, cinematography. Yeah. Even though it looked great.
I'd like to thank the Academy for this Best Picture
Award. Imagine the Best Picture.
Can you imagine? And the nominees this year, A Golden Pond, Rival
First Blood Part 2. Yeah, I don't even think the first one got nominated.
No. Right?
Which, if any, was going to get nominated.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here's a fun fact. Early in development, the film was intended to be a buddy movie. Here we did it again, guys. I'm telling you, it's almost like we do a podcast about Rambo. Okay, the film was intended to be a buddy movie teaming Stallone with a wisecracking tech expert played by John Travolta.
Hey, listen, my name's John. I know about computers and stuff.
Imagine if Rambo goes out in the bush, right? Rambo goes out in the bush and to fight the Vietnamese, and he comes back, and John Travolta goes, "Welcome back, Rambo."
For some reason, I'm picturing like John Travolta with an earring too, like just being very like happy. In the middle of a war zone.
Hey, I think we should grease our weapons while we're at it, Rambo. We should grease our weapons.
Breaking into song. Beast Lightning.
Rambo the musical. Yo, Stallone nixed the treatment, preferring the idea of a solo film. Coincidentally, Travolta was also considered for the lead role in First Blood. It would have been interesting because he would have played it, obviously, dramatically.
Right. It would have been a very different movie.
Would have been more of a probably a cat and mouse chase game with probably not as much gritty violence.
Right. No yeah. muscular machine gun yeah. shooting.
Yeah. Can you imagine Travolta holding that gun at the end?
Oh, God, would have mercy.
Oh, God, would have mercy.
Here we go. Fresh off Rambo 3. Let's see how we do on this one.
I don't think they've gotten necessarily harder with each film.
That's no, they definitely haven't. I think I've gotten better, honestly.
This is round 3. God would have mercy. He won't. And the difficulty is
your worst nightmare.
So how many cuts did Stallone receive crawling through the minefield in Rambo 3? How many
First
cuts?
Of all, who kept count of this?
What? How many cuts?
Was he going through and he's like, one,
what? Two,
three? Come on. I got to go with the lowest one just because of that. I got
to
go with
like, you have to. I agree. So the choices are, if anyone plays at home, 60 to 79, 80 to 99, 100 to 119, 120 plus. It's either going to be 120 plus or the
Come
lowest.
Come on. It's got to be the lowest, right?
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go with the 120 plus. I'm playing for the whole kitchen sink here.
Let's
so,
do it.
What does this mean? Like he got cut from doing
I'm
what?
I'm so confused by this question.
Sly, he's hilarious.
Remember that film I did? I got injured. You know, it was like 60 to 79 cuts. Like, I couldn't count. I stopped somewhere around like 78, but it might have been 79.
It might have been 79.
60 to 79. Hey, this would be good for trivia. Put it on the trivia.
Oh, I was close. We were both wrong. It was actually 100 to 118.
Well, you know, I counted them individually, and it was actually closer to 120. It was 119. It was just crazy, you know?
Holy smokes. What was he cutting himself on?
I don't know. I'm so confused.
So right now he's got 70 cuts on him somewhere.
85, 86.
Where are the cuts?
I don't. Who counted these cuts?
All right. So if you look closely, you'll see that Rambo's scars in the third film are consistent with the previous entries. We mentioned that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. On our Rambo 3 coverage. Jesus! I love that.
Jesus! That's the most you hear Rambo scream in pain, honestly. I think throughout all the movies.
Another fun fact, you can see one on his right arm, continuing with the scars from First Blood caused by the fall through the trees, as we just heard, as well as the one on his left cheek for the knife in First Blood Part 2. Yeah. Look at that. There it is there. Nice. Uh-huh. So how much did Rambo 3 cost to make at the time? I think I know this one. Okay, I'll let you answer first.
I'm going to go with $50 million.
So the choices are 2.5, 5.0, 6.3, and 8.3 million. I'm going with 63.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. A lot of helicopter stuff in here.
Yeah. So at the time of release, Rambo 3 was the most expensive film ever made. That still blows my mind.
That's crazy, right?
Now, that doesn't count for inflation, because I know Cleopatra, when it was made with Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, okay. Elizabeth Hurley version.
Not going to lie to you, Elizabeth Hurley would not be a bad version to watch at all.
No, no.
She still looks fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Okay, so Elizabeth, what's her name again? Taylor.
Taylor, there we go.
You have to count for inflation. $63 million 1985 to 2023 money. That'd give you an idea of how expensive the film was. Mm-hmm. So it might have been the most, like, on paper, $63 million. But for inflation, right. I'm pretty sure Cleopatra was a mega bomb because it was so expensive.
Right, right.
It made $189 million. It says this was considered an underperformance compared to the previous entries, which recouped three times as much domestically.
Right.
It might have been an underperformance, but you still got back.
It still made your money. That still goes on today where they look at what the last one made and they're like, it's not good enough. Like, we need more.
Oh, I do know this one. So Rambo 3 co-stars Mark DeGange or Jange as Colonel Zeisson. I think we talked about this, you and I. But which Hollywood legend was offered the part first?
Brando, right?
That's right. That's right. Mm. So the choices were Brando, Newman, James Caan, or Pacino. It was Marlon Brando. That would have been insane.
That would have been... And he's insane. He was insane. So he would have definitely been wild.
The guy that played Colonel Zeisson, Mark DeGange, he did a great job.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was good.
But imagine seeing Brando in this film.
Imagine.
So Brando in part three, Travolta in part two.
Oh, God. That different universe. What that would have been.
That's right. We mentioned this again in our Rambo 3 coverage that throughout the movie, Rambo only says six words to the Colonel. Three of them were... Your worst nightmare.
And the rest is just incoherent mumbling. The other three.
I can find his leg.
Is that Danforth?
Is that Danforth in your copter?
Listen up! I'll be charging! Listen to me now!
Are you listening?
Are you listening?
Who are you?
Your worst nightmare.
There you go. Those are the only words you said to that guy.
I didn't realize they were all in one sentence like that.
Yeah. So the Afghan rebels of Rambo 3 teach Rambo to play what game?
What the hell was the name of it?
Buzkashi?
Buzkashi?
Pato? Polo? Or Mato?
I want to say Buzkashi, but I could be wrong. Okay.
I'm going to go with Mato. I'm going to split the difference.
I'm going to say that you're right on this.
Oh, good. Look at you.
Oh, it's Buzkashi. Wow. Because every Christmas I play this with my family. We gather around.
You play with the turkey carcass.
Yeah, exactly. Drag it around the driveway.
Another fun fact, Stallone has ridden horses since childhood and competed in his first pole match at the age of 11.
I didn't know about the pole match.
From his childhood? Did they can afford that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm actually, the polo logo on the shirts is actually my silhouette. It's me on the horse.
Yeah, we mentioned this on our
That's Rebel so tribute. Funny. That's so funny. I don't remember you saying that, honestly.
Dom's like, I was a part of the show.
I was a part of the show, and I must have blanked out.
Ryan's talking. I'm not listening. Yeah, so Rambo's horse was also ridden by Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones and Last Crusade. Same horse.
Wow. Yeah.
Last question, folks. What vehicle does Sly ask for as part of his pay for the film? We know this one. You know this. Yes. Again, we brought this up in our Rambo.
I remember you saying this. The Gulfstream jet.
Yeah, I guess we should have given the options for people playing at home. But yeah, the other options were the float plane, a super yacht, or a helicopter. But it was the jet, you're right.
I still can't understand.
I know. I want
a jet. I want the biggest jet you have.
And we mentioned this as well, that Sly actually had a close call with a helicopter rotor blade during production. Do you recall or did you hear about the accident on the Twilight Zone movie?
Yes, I know all about that. Yeah, that was bad. And apparently those kids weren't even supposed to be working. They were like, it was the whole situation was illegal.
It was an accident that shouldn't have happened. If Sly got injured, Nicole was kind of been like, okay, well, he's an adult. He's on the set. He should have known better type thing. But that stuff going on, just Google at home, folks.
Yeah, if you don't know about that. That's
Twilight Zone deaths. Oof, it's hard.
Talk about that for like an hour.
Yeah. Despite the potentially fatal consequences, Stallone laughed off the near miss, saying he would have saved a fortune on haircuts. The idea that he would have lost his head.
This mission is over.
There you go.
Yes.
Oh. So they give us a ranking. If you got 15 out of 15, folks, you're John Rambo. You got 8.
Okay.
So you're so Colonel Troutman.
Not bad.
I got 9. I'm a Colonel Troutman.
Nice.
Why is Cole?
Why is she so high? They should have just had John Travolta in it.
How is this possible? Okay, so guys at home, Galt was 0-3. Deputy Galt, who got killed in the helicopter part 1. He's okay, fair, right? You know, he's such a deplorable character. And then Murdoch was 4-7. And then your next choice was Troutman. Why is Troutman lower than Ko Bao? All right. I mean, stuff. She is pretty. I mean, look at her.
Exactly.
That's right. All right. I hope everyone had fun playing the Rambo Nightmare Quiz. Was that what they called it?
That was great. I still can't understand why it's called the Rambo Nightmare Quiz. But
all right. Without further ado, we'll go through a couple scenes or whatever. Okay. I know we... Hey, you know what? That's fine. We had a lot of fun with the trivia. This is a Rambo podcast. We're covering the fourth Rambo film, the John Rambo version of the fourth Rambo film. We didn't want to rush through this too much, guys, because...
No. You got to savor it, you know?
You got to savor a little bit, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Are you bringing any weapons?
Of course not.
You're not changing anything.
All right, that's where we left off.
Well, It's thinking like that that keeps the world the way it is.
Fuck the world.
Very pessimistic Rambo in this movie.
Why is he so angry? Troutman's dead, sure. Troutman's dead, but would that get him that upset? Why is he saying F the world? Right. Like, because if he really felt that way, he does charitable things all the time.
Well, that's the thing. And when we left him in Rambo 3, he was in pretty decent spirits. I mean, he left everybody in Afghanistan for dead. Other than that, you know, he was pretty good. He's all like hanging out with that kid and stuff. He gave him the necklace.
Yeah.
And now he's like, fuck the world.
Maybe he's mad that he gave the necklace away.
He lost his luck after that. Ever since I gave that thing to him, I've been down to drive a ferry boat for money.
Which reminds me, next recording, I'm going to show you some lost footage of the ferry boat ride.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'll save it. Yeah, you'll like it.
Let's go.
Why?
He's not interested. Let's just go.
Let me try.
No, Sarah.
Hey, look, didn't you say it was the only way up there?
I know I did.
All right, then what do we have to lose?
I talked to
him. Let me try, Michael.
Sarah.
Please.
Why is it the only way up there? They've been there 5 times before. This is the only way to Burma is the Rambo ferry service.
I know we dabbled in this last episode too. Do you think he's lying and they haven't been there before?
No, they've been there.
They have been there. Okay.
Yeah, I believe they've been there. They're people of God. They don't lie. So I love how the hot blonde's like, let me out.
Let me try.
I'll do it. I have nothing to lose.
You're much better looking than the other guy who asked.
Why did you come first?
So Rambo's washing his face and hair in the basin there or whatever.
Hello?
It's essentially how he takes a shower.
So he's washing his face and hair after handling the snakes, I guess.
It's dirty business.
Like a venom on me or something.
He knows the girl's coming. That's why.
That's right.
Look, I saw her staring at me getting sweet.
She goes, I'm Sarah Miller. Okay, here we go.
Sarah Miller. I hope you don't mind me coming back here. The man that you were talking to.
I wasn't talking to anybody.
What does that mean?
Okay, I can assure you he was talking to somebody. This is probably a sign for her that he's crazy and they should leave immediately.
I wasn't talking to anybody.
Oh, yeah. What are we talking about?
Is that him saying that's not a man?
Maybe I know. What, like that, why is he so angry? Yeah. Well, like, why is he mad at them for trying? Sure. They want to go read scriptures with the soldiers, hoping that they'll turn their weapons into plowshares, right? Exactly. We get it. But why is he so angry about,
you're not stopping nothing, you know?
Who was that man? You were talking, man, I wasn't talking to nobody. Who did I talk to?
To be fair to Rambo, that guy was acting like a real, his approach was real dickish. So maybe Rambo just doesn't have time for him.
Yeah. You don't have the patience, Rambo. He's over it.
All right. The man that was talking to you asked if we could hire you to take us up the river. You said no. Why?
Can't help you out.
Well, if you have good reasons, would you mind if I heard them?
Go home.
Now we know what he's saying here. He's basically trying to save their life. Mm-hmm. Like, just don't even bother putting yourself in that situation.
Right.
Now, he could have just said that. He could have said, look, honestly, I can't be party to your massacre.
Right.
Go home. Take an extra 2 seconds.
He likes to be mysterious, you know?
Right.
I know I'm the best fairy guy around, but go home.
She's like, I've never had a guy say no to me before. Look at her. She doesn't know what it feels like. She's
I like the way the husband is just lingering in the back. Like.
Yeah, of course, the fiance. They're not married yet. They're fiancés. Right, right. Fiance, yeah, fiance. Of course, he has to make sure that you know, Rambo doesn't do anything. Oh, yeah. This sequence is ridiculous. But apparently it happened. Apparently this happens. All right, so for a listener at home, what we have is a couple army trucks are pulling up to this swampy, grassy field. Now let's see what happens here. Some of the Karen people are being, civilians are being unloaded off the trucks. So the explosion you heard, if you're listening to this on your audio, is one of the soldiers just threw a mine explosive into the field. I don't know why he detonated in the field. Is it just to showcase that there are other explosives? Because did he pick one up or did he pull it out of his bag?
We don't really see. He pulled that out, didn't he? Or did he pick it up?
I don't know. But then he armed it and then chucked it. And then it blew up. I wouldn't do that. I'd be kind of nervous doing that myself, quite frankly. Yeah, he arms it and chucks it. Yeah. Oh, no, I see. Now he's just throwing them. They're not going off.
Hey, hey! Dagestan!
Basically, there's scattered mines throughout the field, and they're going to either you run across the field or we shoot you type game is what they're playing. Yes. So obviously it's obviously a very barbaric. It's a fun game.
Everybody plays.
I do this with my kids. You know, it's
only the strong will survive.
That's right.
Your father had to go through this, so do you.
So like, we can just kind of mute it, I guess. We don't need to necessarily listen to the slaughter civilians. So, yeah, they're running across the field, and people are watching casually as they run across, hoping to not step on. Oh, one guy got it. Blood and guts everywhere. And the Burmese soldiers are telling him to go this way. And if they don't follow the directions they're supposed to go in, which they didn't, they just blew them apart with their weapons. So
this movie gets very dark.
It was kind of a weird sequence. You think they would have more fun tormenting them? They're like, they're not going in the right direction. You know, they're just
kill them immediately.
Yeah, like, no, we can't wait. Let's just kill them. So now we've got a sequence here of Rambo forging something out of the fires of hell. Now, apparently, didn't we talk about that? Apparently, he created a real knife or machete in this film, and this is him doing it in real life.
Oh, he did do that. Okay.
Yeah. Sarah Miller's coming in again to his place of work. First, she bugged him when he was showering. Now he's building a machete, and she's dolled up her hair a little bit. Have you noticed that? She looks a little bit more. Yeah.
You shouldn't be in here.
Would you reconsider? I don't know anything about you, and it seems like you don't care to know anything about us.
Sarah.
But you live so close to what's going on over here. I mean, doesn't it bother you at all?
It's not my business.
Sarah, we should go.
Do you believe that people are put here to die for no reason?
Yeah. I don't understand what her, like, that's a philosophical question, I guess, that Rambo, I mean, you're asking a very deep question. She's basically saying God has put them here to die.
Right.
And So my question to her would be like, you believe they're put here at all? Like, what do you mean put here?
Right.
People had sex and DNA was formed and they were put in a, that's an odd question. Like, no, their parents decided to have sex and raise their children in a war torn country. Like I don't know if anyone's
right. He just told to fuck the world. Do you think you really care about this?
Yeah. Good point.
How do I handle this question?
Or believe in giving time to something other than yourself. I mean, do you believe in anything?
Okay. See, they're poor Rambo, man. They're just needling him with these questions. Do you believe in anything? This guy fought for the American country, man. He fought in the wars.
You know who you're talking to.
Do you know who you're talking to, lady? Believe in anything?
I want what they want. You really ought to go.
The man doesn't care. We'll figure something out.
You think this gets a little redundant here, right?
They've asked him four times or three times.
Right. And he's had like the same kind of reaction, just different wording every time. Like, you don't belong here. You should leave.
And then that guy kept saying, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. Like, he's like
a little kid.
Like, I know. You don't love me, says the kid to the dad, you know, or the mom, you know, when they, I don't love you. You just don't get to have five pieces of cake for supper every day. Like,
I don't know if it's the hair. I always say stuff like this about this movie, but like, I don't know. Sylvester Stallone's head in this movie is at an all time. Like, it's gigantic. I don't know if it's the angle they shot him at or it's, it's like a boulder. His head.
Rambo 3, the largest production of the Rambo films. Rambo 4, the largest head of the films. Why is it so big? You know what? Well, we know why, right? Do you know why?
Why?
No, yes. Yes.
Right.
Apparently, right. HGH does make your head swell.
Right. No, listen, it's obvious when you watch it now, though, and you see it. It's like, especially those angles, like the behind the head, and she's walking up to him, and you see the big hair and the giant.
How much of that hair is real?
Not much. I'm going to say not much. I'm going to say like the side. I'm going to say somewhere underneath the sideburn area, there might be some real hair, but that's like a helmet. He puts that on.
I thought this stood for hair growth hormone.
Oh, God.
Oh, he gave that guy the stink eye for saying he doesn't.
I like the way their technique is just keep asking him until he says
yes. Yeah. So now we're cutting to more mistreatment of these civilians. They're packing them up. They're kidnapping them from villages, loading them in trucks. They keep showing, of course, the main sort of boss bad guy, who, if I remember correctly from our trivia in the first episode, I think he was a real civilian of that area. And of course, he's playing the worst character of the series almost.
Right.
So they're just like stealing. Are they stealing certain individuals for their army maybe or something here? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're kidnapping women, children, men. It doesn't. Yeah. I know they use the woman later for other things, but they're going to the villages and just, yeah. He says these boys are now our soldiers. That's right. And this does happen in countries throughout the world. Right. I know African countries have this issue. In fact, I heard something terrible about, not to pick on Africa, but I believe it happens in Africa where they'll actually recruit or take these young boys and they'll make them kill their parents.
Oh, like a rite of passage? What is that?
In a way, just to say your life, you're like, it's over. Like at the moment you kill your family, who else can you can kill anybody?
Right. You got nobody else left and all the attachment, I guess.
Yeah. So they literally they shoot their family.
That's disturbing.
Rambo's right.
Mm-hmm. Fuck the world. It's the end result of this podcast watching this movie. Yeah. Fuck the world.
I know this is the most depressing movie. Like I know we got to cover this film, but
that's the problem with it. And I think I was saying it last episode with the opening, it gets too real sometimes where it's like you go from these and obviously First Blood is a more serious, grounded in reality movie.
Right.
But then by the time you do three, it's a popcorn action movie. And obviously he does like he puts some real world elements, but then this gets too real. This one gets too real. You start to sweat.
It's not a fun film.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why everyone likes the hamburger meat scene, because I finally get to see these scumbag soldiers get what's coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not any more or less evil than soldiers from the previous films.
Right.
We're seeing more of the – but those that's other – the Russians were committing genocide.
Mm-hmm.
So are the Viet Cong, right? So he says, your boys are now my soldiers. If you try to get in the back, your whole village will be killed. If you ask the Karen rebels for help, I will cut out your tongues. We're taking your boys. If you go against me, I will feed you your intestines.
Oh.
Hear me, believe me, and fear me. And again, this is real. You're right. This is the kind of threats to give. Like, don't come for the people we kidnapped, or you're just going to get killed anyway. I mean, they did everything. It was just horrific behavior by humans in general.
Mm-hmm.
So Rambo's still making this. What's he making now? Oh, he's making a blade for the boat, for the tugboat. That's what he's working on. Okay. I thought he was making a machete. He's fixing a broken blade. Yeah, Alistair said in our chat, can we go back to Rambo, the sitcom? With the funny one line?
I just read that. really? True. Definitely a massive shift.
That's right. So Alistair said there's a massive shift in the tone from Rambo 3 to 4. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and the big Rambo 4 t-shirts, the big wet t-shirts that he has.
Yeah, so it's pouring rain right now, and it's a good thing he washed his face earlier, because could have just taken a rain shower, and, 5 hours later. He sees Sarah Miller under some sort of cover.
Right.
And he asks the question, why'd you come back? Pouring rain. Now, is that natural rain, do you think, or is that film rain?
Probably film rain, I would assume, right?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Why'd you come back?
Did you notice he is talking pretty clear to her? Like, his voice needs to be more...
I told you before, I can't help you.
Fifth time's charm.
Don't want to.
I don't want to. He doesn't want to help her.
Where are your friends?
At the hotel. I can take care of myself.
Is that so?
Yes. I know you don't like us.
I never said that.
Well, it looks that way.
Why is she so concerned about how he feels about them? They've brought up like 3 or 4 times. He doesn't like us.
He doesn't like us. Maybe like they're saying like, oh, because they're religious and stuff like
that. Is
that
what it is? Is it the victim complex?
I think so. I think it might be.
Why do you care if I like you or not? So if I don't like you but take you, do you care? Like,
I can take care of myself.
Is that so?
Yes.
Looks a little strange in that shot.
I never said that.
Well, it looks that way. We need to go and help these people.
Who you help? Them or you?
That's a good question. And Alistair brings up, he says there's a lot more dialogue in this version than the cinema cut. There you go. Thank you, Alistair. Dom and I mentioned in part one of our season 4 that I'm not an expert on the fourth film. I've seen it maybe twice, and I have not seen the John Rambo version. So
right.
I wouldn't be able to, like, you show me an extended cut of Rocky, of any of the Rocky films, I'll tell you right away, that's a new scene. In fact, when I did the Rambo 4 director's cut, I could tell right away which were the scenes that were different.
Right.
I
wonder if there's actually like an additional scene of them trying to talk to him, because maybe that's why it feels like so many now.
Oh, maybe. It's seen more redundant. Okay.
Right.
He asked a good question. Are you helping them or yourself? Which is kind of what religion's all about. You know, who are you helping here? You know, are you trying to convert others or yourself type thing? And she goes, does it matter? And he goes, yeah, it matters.
Does it matter?
Yeah, it matters.
Them. There's nothing missing in our lives back home. We're here to make a difference. We believe all lives are special.
Some lives, some no.
Really? If everyone thought like you, nothing would ever change.
Nothing does change.
Of course it does. Nothing stays the same.
Interesting philosophical discussion. He's seen this before. He's been around a while. He's seen war come and go. What's changing? Funny enough, things have changed in Burma.
Since the release of this movie.
Yeah, it did help. So,
just like Rocky IV.
Just like Rocky IV, yeah. Things do change. He's being, I know Rambo, understandably so, has been a little bit nihilistic in the sense he just, all he has seen around his life is death and nothing seems to change. She's right. If everyone thought that way, then nobody would do anything. If everyone did make a change, then things would change. Rambo's kind of right because nothing really does get done, and she's right because nobody's doing anything.
Live your life because you've got a good one.
It's what I'm trying to do.
No, what you're trying to do is change what is.
And what is?
That we're like animals. It's in the blood. It's natural. Peace, that's an accident.
I don't think that was in the theatrical cut.
I don't think that's an accident. Oh, that's fantastic. That should be a bumper sticker.
Peace, that's an accident. Peace, that's an accident. We're animals.
He's just going right back to caveman days. Like, he's right. When we first started crawling out of caves and bonking each other on the heads for land or whatever, he's wrong, though. Once we figured out that if we work together as a community, that if we'd stop like fighting and bonking each other in the heads, if we work together and keep a lookout for predators and stuff, we could actually progress.
Right.
And get more out of life. So peace wasn't an accident. It was actually evolution, meaning working within the community, that's where morality comes from. It's actually evolution. And what I mean by that is if you're with a group of 10 people and you're like, well, let's just kill each other, then everyone just ceases to exist. Or let's just punch each other in the face. Nobody likes how that feels. So we just don't do it. That doesn't feel good. Can you stop, please? So you make a rule. Nobody will punch each other in the face because it hurts and it doesn't do anything for anybody. So you make up rules. And so you say punching in the face is bad. Now make the commandment, thou shalt not punch the others in the face.
Right.
So the other commandment is let's show love, meaning when we show love and we're kind, then we get things done. There's never been a crime committed where love was shown. Because that doesn't help society. Gang shootouts or mob robberies or drinking and driving accidents, none of this stuff is done out of love. Peace is not an accident. It was actually a form of progress. I mean, to come to peace is how you progress and how you have safety. Yeah.
Well, peace, you should have been there to say all that to Rambo.
Oh, I know. I don't think Rambo would have listened to me. I don't have long blonde hair or anything.
It's what is. When you're pushed, killing's as easy as breathing.
Wasn't that the tagline for the film?
It might have been prominent in the marketing if it sticks out.
Kill him as easy as breathing. Everyone's pushing limits different. Like for me, obviously, if a cop drove me out of town, said, don't come back here, I would just be like, okay, I'm not going to bother. I don't want to get off
the edge of town and told you to go that way.
I would just say, Roger, I don't want to get into it. But if someone started pushing me, my family, my kids, started doing things, like, of course, we all have a point where, yeah, I could kill someone if it meant protecting my family, or they kept pushing my freedoms or my family or safety. Of course.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not easy, but it's like, yeah, I will do that, which is necessary.
And like the trivia said, never push Rambo, right?
Never poke him. Wasn't that the answer?
And the killing stops in one place or starts in another, but that's okay. Because you're killing for your country. But it ain't your country who's asking. It's a few men up top who want it. Old men start it. Young men fight it. Nobody wins. Everybody in the middle dies. And nobody tells the truth.
And you're better than that.
And that's what cowards do. You're better than that.
This is the Rambo 4. Heavy dialogue cut. Everything that Stallone wanted to put in here, he wasn't even going off a script anymore. He was just talking and they were rolling. And he's like, keep it in.
Stallone wrote and directed this film. Yeah, he was just talking to
Julie Benz.
That's right. Just talking to Julie.
He starts messing definitely up the dialogue.
I remember holding you in my hand when you were this big.
You know, life isn't all Rambo's 1 through 3. Rambo 4 would put you to your knees.
It's like we're turning into different people, Apollo.
Man, this is fantastic. This is new to me. So he's a nihilist and he's an atheist. He's about to say God's going to make all that go away.
God's going to make all that go away? Don't waste your life. I did. Cool. Really? Go on.
Okay, sorry.
I can't help but laugh because it's like he told him to go home 16 times. Right? He's like, really? Go home.
Like, why did he come out? Did he know? She could have easily just kept walking, but he came out ready.
Let me stand on my mark here.
You care.
What?
You care. Because if you didn't, you would have taken us there, taken the money, and be done with it. But you didn't do that. Maybe you've lost your faith in people. But you must still be faithful to something. Believe me, I'm scared. And I love my life. And I don't want to lose it. But trying to save a life isn't wasting your life, is it?
He's flexing so hard.
He's bulging out of that shirt.
He's bulging right there. He's very tight.
He never said that he wasn't unfeeling. He's just saying that war, whether it's in Burma, the U.S., Vietnam, Russia, I go there, I clean up the mess. It just gets filled in by more rats, more vermin. It just keeps getting filled in. No matter how much I dig. You ever go to a beach and you dig in the sand and then you hit the water and you just keep digging, but it keeps filling in with water? You can't quite.
Right.
It never empties. Going. Yeah. That's Ramble's version of life. You know, to her credit, the character, Sarah Miller, she recognizes that Ramble has been through some PTSD. I think when he was going over that little war dialogue about God and war and leaders, she was recognizing, okay, this guy's an ex-soldier. He served the country. So she went softer on him a little bit. Didn't
this
she
guy's out of his fucking mind. She backed off a little bit.
She did a little bit. She did a little bit.
Will you help us?
That's the fifth time you asked me. Okay. Go home. All right.
Thank you.
All right. He said, all right. He's going to do it, folks. Stand by for the next.
Get this ferry boat ready.
Fantastic episode as always. Boy.
Always.
Hey guys, if you wanted to write to the show, check out the show notes. We have an email. We haven't gotten an email in a while. Send us an email. I know it sounds contrite. It sounds silly. But if you truly are watching the show or listening to the show on your podcast, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, wherever it is, on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network feed as well, if you're listening via there, can you please give these things a like? At the very least, get the likes up there. It's amazing how much it helps. We have enough people listening that it takes 2 seconds to give it some stars, five out of whatever stars. Please give us 5 stars. It does help the algorithm because when people look at the shows, they'll look at us like, oh, they got no ratings. I don't care. They must have, you know, they think because you have no listeners, our show sucks. Now, our show might suck, but come on, you know. And if you're watching this on YouTube, give it a like and share it anywhere you want, all that good stuff. We do appreciate all the Ramble fans who watch the show. Send us an email. Join my Patreon as well. What does the Patreon do? Well, once this episode is recorded, for example, I'm going to share the video story to people on Patreon so they get to watch it right away before the edits and all that good
early
stuff.
Early access.
So, early access. And this one is going to be tight because we're behind. Oh, yeah. Dom got married. So we're actually late on this recording because did we mention that yet? Did we mention that?
I think a very top you mentioned
that. Okay. If we didn't, I apologize. Yeah, Dom got married. And so he was on his honeymoon during our normal recording time. Yes. So we had
I went to Burma.
You went to Burma.
Fantastic. The fairy guy was great.
Great. They did this fun game with the grenades.
Yeah. So, yeah, we appreciate all the support on the channel, what have you. And, yeah. All right. Well, Dom, as always, it's an absolute pleasure to do this show with you. But unfortunately, the episode is over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off. It wasn't my podcast. You asked me, co-host. I didn't ask you.